Yeah, it's an awesome opportunity. Our guys are really excited to get out there. I think, you know, we get into practice, and, you know, every day we're working them pretty hard. We're challenging them, and it's great for them to be out there to get some positive feedback from the fans, to interact, to see the environment, just to connect with people. I think this is, you know, our team's going to be about doing the right thing and being involved in the community, and this is a very good time for us to take advantage of that.
What were the midnight madnesses and showcases for you when you were at Iowa State? Give us some stories when you were the assistant with both McDermott and Fred Hoiberg. Like, what was it like? Because you know those environments and cultures. Basketball is life, and life is basketball, and they treat this like the holy grail of the fall.
Yeah, we'd have close to some sellout crowds. I mean, we'd get 13, 14,000 there in Hilton Coliseum, and have a lot of shooting contests, dunk contests, fan interactive opportunities, but the energy was great. We want to generate that same energy here, that same excitement here leading into the season, and I think this is a great first step in doing that.
Well, you talk about first step and, you know, building around the community, Coach. I'm curious, before you got here, what were your views on this market, this university, this city in Las Vegas, and what are some things that have surprised you since your arrival?
Well, I think, first of all, I mean, I grew up watching this program. And so the success, you know, in the late 80s and early 90s was something that was a big part of me falling in love with this game of basketball. And so I had those memories are very fond and followed the program through the years. Coach Kruger's been a mentor of mine, had an opportunity to be out here for practices and stay in close contact with him. So watched it through his tenure as well. And so, you know, what I found is Las Vegas is a lot more of a big town than a city. I think so many people are connected and a lot of close relationships. A lot of people have been here for a long time. But I also think Running Rebel basketball holds a special place in the heart of many.
Yeah.
So many stories out there that, you know, season ticket holder, went to the games as a kid, you know, knew this player, that. So there's so many of those stories out there where we can connect to the community. And so we want to make sure we take advantage of doing that. I think you know, the perceptions to me is that this, you know, people are dying for us to have a great program, for us to, you know, make some noise not only in the Mountain West but beyond. And I think we're off to a great start. We're going to make a lot of people proud on, you know, throughout this process and on this journey.
All right, you talk about being a fan of those early 90s teams, and we're here with UNLV Running Rebel head coach TJ Otzelberger. I'm going to put you on the spot. Stacey Augmon or Larry Johnson? You can only have one.
You know, it's funny. I was more Anderson Hunt because I wanted to shoot the ball. I wasn't the athlete that Stacey was with the instincts. I certainly didn't have the power and ferocity of Larry Johnson. I'm not saying I could shoot it like Anderson, but he's the one that I kind of wanted to get out there and shoot some bombs like he did.
I like it. The perfect diplomatic response. Avoids the actual question. I like it, though. Showing his team knowledge right there. That's what's up, Coach.
Too funny.
Yeah, make sure you get down to the Sam Boyd Stadium this Saturday. Fantastic event. Not only does UNLV play Boise State at 7:30, but at 6 o'clock, it's the Scarlet and Gray Basketball Showcase. Get down there early. It's free to get in, free parking, autographs at the end. Bring your family. A basketball court will be set up adjacent to the Rebel Block Party, and you can watch both the men's and women's team practice and a chance to win $10,000 if you hit a half-court shot. So, Coach, everywhere I've been in the summer, from either Lake Las Vegas or to a Terrible Herbs gas station in Summerlin, listeners have come up to me unprovoked, and they're excited just about the words you say, but the actions you've done already about your system. So how would you describe it for those who haven't seen it yet? Because I think Rebel fans are just excited to see a team that can set the pace by scoring.
Well, I think, you know, we've been fortunate. The places I've been with, you mentioned with McDermott and Hoiberg at Iowa State, I think those are two of the elite offensive basketball minds in the country year in and year out. Those guys are always in the top. So I've learned from some really quality guys. We were fortunate to implement a system at South Dakota State that had us, you know, in the last 2 years, we were top six or seven in the country in scoring, three-point percentage, three-point field goals made. And our guys really shared the basketball. Assist to turnover ratios were great. So I think that's what we're trying to implement here. I think, you know, as we put our process in every day, I think part of it is with our guys understanding why we're doing it, and we've got to be in great shape to get up and down the court. That's a big part of it, because the conditioning and being able to kind of wear your opponents down is a factor. But I think as each day goes on, we're taking that step forward and excited to keep, you know, implementing that up-tempo style.
speaking with head coach T.J. Otzelberger here on the Press Box Morning Show, Ryan McKinnell, Clay Baker. You know, we just a couple weeks ago when we were down at Sam Boyd for the Arkansas State game, people were already talking about, you know, it's like Saturday on a college football Saturday, all right? And people are talking about a recruit that had kind of committed to the team for the 2020 class, okay? I think people weren't so excited not just about the player itself, but that the fact you are now assembling newcomers for years ahead of time. What is your philosophy on locking in players like that, especially, you know, at the 2020 level?
Well, I think, first of all, you know, when we put our coaching staff together, we wanted guys that were had a keen eye for talent and ability to evaluate and then really develop players. I think so many times in recruiting, people get caught up in the rankings. And I think a lot of times the people that are doing the rankings may have never played, may have never coached, and don't know what a particular team might need to win. And so I wanted guys that had the ability to go out on their own accord, identify talent, determine what we need, and then also how a plan for how we're going to get those guys better, both individually and collectively. And so our mindset has been to really start in Las Vegas, look at the younger guys here, you know, 20, the 21, the 22 class, identify who those guys might be that we think could fit in our system. And then we've said it from the start, we want local guys that really want to be at UNLV. I mean, if they really want to be here to ride for the city, to play for the Running Rebels, hopefully as we do camps and things, they grow up wanting to be here, wanting to play here. They're living in our gym. And now, to me, it's a chance for us to connect the community, bring in other families and people. So that's where our focus has been. We've been fortunate in that recruiting class to have some of those successes. But I think overall for us, we're going to try to be really aggressive in identifying the talent early, making sure they know how much we want them here, and then you know, challenging them to say, hey, if this is what you know you want, let's go. You know, put your foot forward, let's start building the relationship, and let's start that process before you get to college.
I think that's what fans really love, because they understand that not only you're going to be a tireless recruiter, but you're going to build a team that you want. And it makes you wonder, like, what are the characteristics that you value the most, especially out of, like, the younger prep athlete?
Well, I think first and foremost, we want guys with great character. And what I mean by that is guys that love the game of basketball, guys that want to do the right thing, they want to be students, they want to be part of something bigger than themselves. And I know that's easier said than done. That's challenging, because a lot of 15, 16, 17, 18-year-olds, that's a tough blend to find. We want those characteristics. We want a high IQ and skill level, ability to shoot the basketball, and then we're never going to compromise when it comes to toughness. So I think those are the traits we're really looking for, and I think if you can get up and down the court, if you share the ball, have a high IQ, you play with some toughness, and you're passionate about it, you play with that energy, I think you got a chance to be really successful.
Well, Coach, we got a lot of passionate fans out here in Vegas that are excited for your debut with the Running Rebels. But I'm curious, I want to talk to T.J. Otzelberger, the Milwaukee fan. You
yes.
are from Milwaukee. The Brewers are about to be in a wild card game. We'll get to that in a second. I want to talk about the Packers, because listen, I'm a Bears fan, right? I was happy last year when it looked like they were regressing. This year, they look back to form. They've got a defense. What's your read on this team? Are they going to be a better version of what they were last year? Or are you going to see some regression? What do you think about Aaron Rodgers and your boys up there at Lambeau?
Well, first of all, I commend you for publicly admitting that you're a Bears fan. I think we have to go back to the mid-80s when they had that staunch defense under Mike Ditka the last time they had a real team. So yeah. I commend you're resilient and definitely loyal, if nothing else. You know what? Hey, Packers are off to a great start. Obviously, we dumped one this week. We're sitting 3-1. Yeah, I think we have arguably the best or one of the top quarterbacks in the league. Great young coaching mind. So I think we're going to have a better season than last year. I think it's onward and upward. So, and I don't feel sorry for you at all that your team looks like they're going to be a submarine continuing to take a nosedive.
Oh, this is
so
great. Nothing
so
changes.
Bad.
You guys are now out of your environment in Las Vegas, yeah. But the traditional
nothing changes, Clay. Nothing changes. We go from Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers, and it's been 25 years of just heckling from Green Bay fans, which is what it's like TJ said. I just he's right. I'm a glutton for punishment. All right, Coach, what do you think about your Brewers one game to move on? Obviously, no Christian Yelich, but what a – I mean, really back-to-back years, what they've been able to do, the resiliency that they've shown, yeah. The way they've rallied. Is this the year they go a little bit deeper?
You know what? It sure seems like they've got a chance. I mean, the energy, like you said, for some reason, you know, they've rallied as a group. They've really pulled together, even, you know, without their stud. And they're fun to watch. I mean, they're scrappy, find a way to, you know, run the bases and you know, take some things away, and are very opportunistic. So it's fun to watch. For me, I don't get long stretches, especially this time of year, to watch baseball. So my extent of it is when I'm on the treadmill early in the morning and catching a 30-second blip on SportsCenter. But nonetheless, seems like we've got a chance.
Well, Coach, we appreciate your time. We know it's a busy moment for you, though. We look forward to seeing you on Saturday night for the Scarlet and Gray Showcase over at Sam Boyd. Thanks again for your time.
Absolutely, guys. Thanks for the opportunity. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Thanks, Coach.
TJ Otzelberger with us. Scarlet and Gray Showcase, 6 o'clock. Saturday at Sam Boyd. Awesome event that they're going to have a basketball court right there at the Rebel Block Party. Arrive early for seats. You get to see the both players for the men and lady Rebels, and a chance to win 10 grand for a half court shot. One lucky fan will be picked at random.
It's the worst. I can't do anything. You can't do anything.
He just like nailed you on that.
But you can't do anything.
I'm as a Lions fan.
As a Bears fan. Exactly. We can't say anything. He's like, yeah, you're terrible. You're trash. You're Basura. It's like, yeah, no, yes, yep.
I know it.
You got Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre and all the records and MVPs, and yep, we're just going to sit here and hope a defense can win us a Super Bowl in 2019, because that still happens in the NFL.
And to take it even further, your team is owned by the fans, by the people.
Oh,
democracy.
Yeah, it's 100%. Yeah, if you want to actually, like, dog their fans, oh, you mean those loyal people up in Canada that have nothing to live for and there's no joy and they own their team and they are clearly some of the best fans in all of sports? Yeah. It's wonderful.
Oh, my God. You know, and he was confident with that dig. It was just like a shot across the bow.
Well, that's what 30 years of winning and having two Hall of Fame quarterbacks will do for you at multiple Super Bowls. It's disgusting. I just want one. Chicago, give me one. I don't need multiples. I'm not greedy. I don't ask for an 8 when I'm hitting on 13. I don't need 21. I'm not that guy.
Yep.
Just let me just beat the dealer once.
Yeah, I want the dealer to bust.
That's it.
I'm going to hit to win, but I want the dealer to bust. I'm going to play the game the right way.
I'll remember it for the rest of my life.
Ryan's at third base. I'm at first base. We're trying to get the dealer to bust.
It's all the same,
it's
buddy.
It's all the same, man.
We're losers.
We hit the wrong team. We were born in the wrong era, wrong place of in the country.
Can we just be Pats fans?
The Lions.
I feel like, watch us. We become Pats fans and they lose for the next 40 years.
We would destroy it. They would curse that organization. Tell you what, when the Lions played the Chiefs, they threw like a little camera shot at the banner up at the top of the Ford Field where the Lions play. Lions last won a championship in 1957. They've had one playoff win since then. One playoff win.
I'm pretty sure Wayne Fonts was your coach.
Yeah, it was the good glory days with Rodney Peete and Barry Sanders.
I was going to say, you need to put a flag up there for Barry Sanders. You need to that needs to be your championship.
He broke my heart. We're not going to bring up that kind
of
drama.
That is true. I mean, I should pass down the venom. Like, I mean, TJ gave it to me. I should just give it to you.
Yeah.
And be like, well, at least I'm not a Lions fan, and having the two greatest players in the position walk away at 30 years old because your organization is absolutely dookie. I'm just going to make you feel bad now. That's what I'm going to do. That is, as a good sports fan, I'm just going to parlay that anger and that sadness, and I'm just going to shove it all back at you.
Coach Otz will never appear on this show again because he's brought up a bunch of emotional trauma I've tried to put away for many years. No, thanks again to Coach Otzelberger, and join him Saturday, 6 o'clock, an amazing event over at Sam Boyd, the basketball showcase, the Scarlet and Gray, as well as UNLV football. We'll be back after this with a little traffic.
Start your engines!
There's a crash on 15 northbound at US 93. The northbound off-ramp to 93 is now closed because of that crash. There's an accident on Durango northbound after Warm Springs with two right lanes blocked. And we have a problem along the surface streets in downtown that's on.
It's the Press Box on ESPN 1100 and 100.9 FM.